Trevor. Thanks, and good morning, everyone. On the first page, which is the overview page, I'd make just a couple points that will tee up our presentation for the quarter. First, the GE environment has improved. We've seen orders strengthening. Service orders grew by 14%. Our delinquencies have stabilized. Non-earnings are down. So when the world we look at really has improved, and we're looking forward now into 2010. The GE business model has performed in the fourth quarter. The things we've talked about in the past in terms of how we're running the company, I think really did achieve and perform on plan in the fourth quarter. Services grew nicely. Our margins and cash flow performance were very strong. We won a lot of the big global orders. And the capital finance metrics are either at plan or better than plan as we end the year. The 2010 framework we talked about in December is achievable and balanced, we think. The outlook for capital finance is improving. We've got high visibility in our backlog and margins, and our service revenue is very strong. And we've done a substantial amount of restructuring over the past few years, and a lot of those benefits will carry over into 2010 and beyond. So we think that really gives us a real sense that the 2000 framework is very solid. We're positioned for growth in 2011 and beyond. We think that losses in capital finance will stabilize in 2010 and start to decline. The infrastructure visibility, again, is very high. And by the end of 2010 and during the year, we should have $25 billion of cash at the GE parent that we can use to keep the company safe and secure and also have ample opportunities to create shareholder value. And we just take a lot of strong actions to position the company for the future. The portfolio is simpler and stronger. Our R&D investments increased in 2009, so we have lots of new products. We're very well positioned globally. So I think we accomplished a lot in the quarter and feel pretty good about how we finished the year. On the next page, just some results versus the December outlook meeting. I'm not going to go through all these, but on the left-hand side, here were some of the key things we talked about in December versus how we finished. And we're at or above plan or at or above outlook on virtually all the metrics. There's some encouraging signs, you know, orders strengthening, services very strong. We were able to do more restructuring in the fourth quarter than we originally thought. Cash and margin levels at near margin performance at near record levels, losses stabilizing, and high margins on new lending. And there's still some cautious areas. We're still very cautious about commercial real estate, and there's excess capacity, high unemployment. So we're cautious about certain areas. But as we finished the year, we did see some encouraging signs. Now, there are four areas of execution that we've talked about as we went through 2009 and a very difficult economy, and I want to recap each one of those. The first one is the focus on keeping GE Capital safe and secure, and really we're ahead of plan on virtually all the metrics that we've talked about. We're fully funded for 2010, and we've done $4.4 billion of funding in 2011. At attractive spread, so we feel great about our funding performance. Commercial paper is below $50 billion. We're again, ahead of plan there. Our leverage reduced in the quarter, and, again, ahead of plan there. Our common Tier 1 common ratio continues to improve. We've got lots of JEX equity. We're very strong and getting stronger in terms of balance sheet strength. And our ending net investment is ahead of plan at $472 billion. So really strong execution by the GE Capital team. From an orders standpoint in a slow economy, you know, very important to get the orders that are out there. We saw, you know, a good bump quarter over quarter, a $3.7 billion improvement quarter over quarter. Our total orders were only down 3% versus the fourth quarter of last year, which was still a pretty good quarter for the company. From an equipment standpoint, we're seeing a pretty good bounce back as we went through 2009, and we think equipment orders should be positive for the year of 2010 versus 2009. Services were very strong. I mean, a 14% service V was as good as any quarterly service V we had, even pre-crisis. So we feel great about how our services are positioned. Our backlog is at record levels. A lot of that's driven by service, but again, at or ahead of plan. And we won a lot of the big deals. Our oil and gas business won a lot of the big global deals in Australia. Healthcare, we really saw good strength across all geographies. About 60% of our orders are global. It's a very diverse global framework. Sabaya from Kuwait, Australia, India. You know, you really go across the board. And we saw pretty good order strength in the fourth quarter. And we're increasing our backlog going into 2009, going into 2010. The third area of execution was on margins. And what we did here is we broke out our infrastructure and consumer and industrial margins and then total industrial, which includes NBCU. And we did that really for two reasons. One is that, you know, our focus going forward is going to be infrastructure and C&I with the Comcast, announced Comcast deal. And the second one is just the Olympics tend to distort what we're doing. And I think what you see here is very good margin accretion, both in the fourth quarter, total year, and also in infrastructure and C&I, we see margins improving again in 2010. And the basic is we've got, you know, the dynamics of margin enhancement really are working and really are repeatable. And I'll just recap those. We've done lots of restructuring. It's enabled us to really take lots of structure out of the company. We've closed more than 400 facilities. Our headcount is down. And these benefits will carry over into 2010 and beyond. The second point is that our services are growing faster than equipment, which has a nice mix impact. At the same time, the margin in our service business is also improving. So that's really a double tailwind, if you will. Our contribution margins have grown and are growing. Our pricing is reasonably stable, and deflation is accelerating. So that adds to our value gap improving in 2010. We've had disciplined execution around discretionary costs. Our indirects are down 16%. And so those are the things that have helped our margins expand. At the same time, we've continued to invest in R&D. Our R&D investment grew 7% in 2009. It's planned to grow 15% to 20% in 2010. So we have lots of high-margin new products coming into the pipeline as well. So we think the margin story is very good and very good compared to our peers in 2009. Lastly, on cash, which was a big focus area for the year, we started 2009 with a target of $14 to $16 billion of industrial CFOA. We actually beat the plan with $16.6 billion of CFOA. The teams did a great job of reducing working capital by more than $3 billion. And so where that leaves us right now between GE Capital and the GE parent, we have $72 billion of consolidated cash on the balance sheet. We've got $8.7 billion of cash at the parent. If you add in the announced dispositions of security and the Comcast JV, that's an additional 10. So our cash execution has been strong. We've got lots of cash we'll be accumulating during the year, and we think this really helps us from a financial flexibility standpoint. So with that, I'll turn it over to Keith to go through the fourth quarter performance.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm going to start with the fourth quarter consolidated results summary. For the quarter, we had revenues of $41.4 billion, which were down 10%, better than we had during the first 9 months of the year. Industrial sales of $28.3 billion were down 9%, and financial services revenue of $13.5 was down 14%. We earned $3 billion in net income, which was down 22%, principally driven by the GE Capital comparisons. For earnings per share, we earned 28 cents, including the cost of the preferred dividend. And as Jeff covered, the total cash flow from operating activities was $16.6 billion, exceeding the high end of our estimated range for the year, and that's a great result. In terms of taxes, the consolidated rate for 2009 ended at a negative 11%. You can see the GE rate, excluding GE Capital, came in at 22%, in line with our third quarter outlook. And the GE Capital rate of 173%, it reflects the fact that we have a large tax benefit or credit divided by negative pre-tax income at the total GE Capital services level, and that results in the large positive rate, similar to the first 9 months of the year. I'm going to cover more on taxes on the next page for the impact in the fourth quarter. On the right side, you can see the segment results. Infrastructure businesses had $4.3 billion of segment profit. That was down about 4% from last year. For the total year, the infrastructure businesses were up about 1%, pretty good performance in this economy. NBCU segment profit of $602 million was down 30%, again, consistent with the first 9 months of the year. GE Capital Finance earned $336 million. It's down 67%, also in line with the first 9 months' performance. And C&I had another good quarter. They delivered $136 million of segment profit, you know, almost triple from what their results were last year. So overall, the segment profit was down 16%. And the difference between our total earnings down 22 and segment profit down 16 reflects the additional restructuring that we did in the fourth quarter. And I'll cover some more on that in a minute. So I'll cover all the business details in the next several pages. Before I get into the business results, I just want to summarize the fourth quarter items that impacted the quarter. The first one is one we've done all year long. We had 9 cents of restructuring and other charges that were recorded in corporate. We continue to invest in lowering our cost structure, and this 9 cents was aligned by business. I'll give you a couple of the numbers as follows. Capital finance was $256 million. Energy infrastructure was $130 million. Technology infrastructure was $110 million. C&I was $102 million, and NBC was $48 million. And the balance was in corporate, primarily environmental. The significant projects that we completed in the quarter included exits of some non-core leasing platforms in our equipment services business in G Capital. We closed some factories in lighting in Europe, and we continued service shop consolidations in energy, so a continued reduction of our cost structure. The second item in the quarter, we had a gain associated with FANUC. As you know, we dissolved our FANUC JV this quarter. We transferred the CNC business back to FANUC at fair value, and that resulted in a gain of about a penny after tax. And then the third item in the quarter is our industrial taxes. And as I showed on the previous page, the fourth quarter industrial rate was 10%, and that was low versus our total year estimate. I signaled that in the third quarter, and that contributed about 5 cents of earnings in the quarter, versus a mid-20s average rate for the industrial earnings. The rate's lower in the fourth quarter to true up to the total year rate. For the first 9 months of the year, the industrial rate was higher than our total year estimate because of the mix of financial services low-taxed earnings. And then in the fourth quarter, we had to reverse basically the first quarter charge to get to the expected annual rate of around 22%. So, you know, net-net, if you look, 9 cents of restructuring, 6 cents of positives from tax and the gain, there's an additional 3 cents of charges that basically help us improve our cost structure going forward. You know, for the business results, I'll start with capital finance. Mike Neal and the team continue to make progress while we're working through this tough credit cycle. For the fourth quarter, revenues of $12.5 billion were down 15%. Again, that's driven by our assets being down as well as lower interest rates. Segment profit of $336 million was down 67%, driven by lower tax benefits in G Capital quarter over quarter, lower assets as we shrink the book, fewer gains, and that was partially offset by having lower impairments in the quarter and also lower costs. Assets of $537 billion were down 6% year over year. They were down 10%, excluding the impact of FX, and assets were also down $14 billion from the third quarter. I'll cover more on assets as I go through the businesses. So if you start on the right side of the page and you look at the activity that the team has done, first, we've done a great job on funding. If you look at constant FX rates, we reduced our ending net investment by $53 billion from the year-end 2008. We completed our 2010 long-term debt needs. We also absorbed the extra cost from pre-funding our debt maturities and carrying that extra cash. We did $34 billion of commercial originations for the year. And fourth quarter was $10.9 billion, up 7% from last year's fourth quarter, but up over 50% from the third quarter. So the origination team is fully engaged and back in business and allocating capital to high-margin opportunities. Our return on that volume was over 3% in the fourth quarter. Total year losses came in at $10.9 billion, and losses and impairments were $12.6 billion, which was below the Fed base case that we laid out in March. Reserve coverage continues to be higher. I'm going to cover more on reserves in a few pages. And the team took out $3.3 billion of SG&A costs during the year, a great job on controlling costs and reducing our cost footprint and helping to deal with the problems we have in the credit cycle. If you look on the left side, I'll make a few comments by business. As we said, every business was profitable in the quarter except for real estate. Starting with consumer, our consumer business delivered $259 million of earnings. That was down 69% from last year, principally because we had lower tax benefits, partially offset by lower credit losses, so a little improvement in credit year over year. In the consumer business, a couple of the pieces, global banking earned $184 million, which was down 50% from last year because of higher credit costs. Our U.S. retail finance business was profitable in the fourth quarter. They earned a modest amount, and again, that was driven by lower credit losses and lower costs. And our restructuring operations earned $90 million, up over $90 million because of lower credit costs, and principally in the U.K. home lending business. The real estate business had a loss of $593 million in the fourth quarter. We incurred $350 million of after-tax credit costs, which helped boost our reserve provisions. And we also had $315 million of marks and impairments on the equity book. Reserve coverage increased 47%, and reserves are up to $1.5 billion now in real estate. And we just continue to see pressure on property valuations, and we'll build reserves as they're needed. Commercial lending and leasing had a good quarter. The business earned $362 million, a positive $500 million swing from last year, as marks and impairments improved by $300 and costs were lower by $200. GECAS had another great quarter. They earned $277 million. That was up 16%, driven by core growth. We also funded $2 billion in new volume at over 4% ROI, and asset quality remains strong with only three aircraft on the ground at year-end. And finally, Energy Financial Services earned $31 million, down 86% from lower gains and lower tax benefits. So overall, Capital Finance earned $2.3 billion of net income for the year, and let me go into some of the portfolio quality details. First, on portfolio quality are the stats on delinquencies and non-earning assets, and on the left side is our commercial equipment finance data. The 30-day plus delinquencies for equipment are down 20 basis points from Q3 to Q4, which is a good sign. America's delinquency was down 27 basis points, and we also had declines in both Europe and Asia. Commercial non-earning assets declined $600 million from Q3 to Q4, which is another positive sign, and we remain well collateralized on the remaining non-earning assets. In real estate, 30-day delinquencies were up 14 basis points to 4.33%, and non-earnings were actually down almost $70 million in the fourth quarter, down 11 basis points. Over on the right side on the consumer data, you can see the delinquency data has leveled off. We've had a slight decline in the mortgage delinquency, which is good news. For North American retail, the delinquencies were up 32 basis points to 7.59%, and a lot of that's driven by seasonality. In a normal Q3 to Q4 seasonal change, we'd have over 50 basis points of increase in delinquency. So I think that's it's up a little bit, but manageable relative to the normal seasonality. The good news in the consumer segment came also in the U.K. home lending business. Delinquencies were down 52 basis points from the third quarter. The U.K. mortgage portfolio is performing better. We had 6 months now of house price increases in the U.K., and we continue to realize gains on the properties that we repossess and sell. And our inventory also declined. Our inventory of homes that we've repossessed declined by over 36% in the fourth quarter versus the third quarter. So some good signs in the U.K. home lending business. Global banking delinquencies were stable, 4.6%. And on the right side, the far right on non-earnings, you can see the consumer non-earning assets, they were up about $100 million, up slightly in the fourth quarter. But the mortgage non-earners declined, and the non-mortgage increased about 30 basis points, driven by continued pressure in the U.S. with the high unemployment rate. So, well, it's a pretty tough environment, but I think some signs of stabilization with the leveling off of delinquencies and decline in non-earnings. If you look at reserve coverage, we increased our reserve coverage every quarter last year. You can see that in the bars here. In the fourth quarter, our provision for loss was $2.9 billion, and with write-offs staying flat, in Q3, we increased reserves by another $730 million. Coverage was up to 2.36%. In December, we had forecast that we'd have coverage about 2.25%, so more than 10 basis points better in the final close here. For the commercial business, our reserves increased to over $500 million, principally in real estate. As I mentioned, non-earners came down over $600 million, and we continue to benefit from our strong collateral positions. For consumer, you can see the reserves are up $230 million. Coverage was up 24 basis points. And the impact of secured and unsecured consumer lending comes out here. If you look, our North American retail coverage is up to 7%. And then in the secured lending on the consumer side, where we have the mortgage collateral and the mortgage insurance, the coverage is up to 1.62%. And on the houses that we're repossessing, we're realizing all year long, all four quarters, 115% proceeds versus the foreclosure marks on our mortgage assets. So pretty good performance on taking over the assets. For the year, we increased our reserves by $2.8 billion, and the coverage is up 94 basis points. Now, the non-earning charts on both commercial and consumer, we put those in the supplemental deck, but you can see we continue to believe that we're adequately reserved for the non-earning assets for each of the business segments. To wrap up capital, I thought I'd just re-summarize the sub-business dynamics that Mike, Neil, and the team outlined in December for 2010 outlook. If you start at the top, consumer loans and leases, that represents about $200 billion of our assets. The outlook for 2010 is much better. Losses will be lower. Most of the portfolios in this business have stabilized already in terms of delinquency and lower non-earnings, and the outlook's pretty good with the new volume they're originating. For U.S. consumer, 2010 should also be better. Losses should be stable, but our underwriting discipline that paid off in 2009 should continue to give us benefits as we've raised our underwriting standards and we've cut open lines to buy and we've been very disciplined on collections. Overall, the result here is going to depend on where unemployment goes. For global banking, the outlook's also better. Losses should be stable, and we expect to benefit from the positive growth where we operate. CEE's Central and Eastern Europe GDP growth should be over 2% in 2010 versus 2009, and that's good for these businesses. I mentioned that UK mortgage is improving. We expect lower losses in 2010 as the market dynamics continue to improve. And for the verticals, we expect about flat performance. We're being cautious in this aviation cycle, but our business does remain highly secured and well-positioned here when you look at the asset performance we have. And finally, for real estate, we expect continued pressure. We expect losses to be higher, but we're working our way through the cycle. We've got an intense focus on operations and risk management, and some liquidity has returned to the real estate market. So if you look in December, our outlook for capital finance was about flat. We have some encouraging signs that show the potential for earnings growth in 2010, and we should be well-positioned for solid capital growth in 2011 based on the outlook we have today. So let me switch to industrial. I'll start with NBC. For the quarter, revenues of $4.3 billion were down 4%. Segment profit of $600 million was down 30%. And just a few comments on the market before I cover the business segments. The advertising market is definitely improving. Probably the best indicator of that would be the scatter pricing that you get on top of the inventory that you sold in the upfront. We have available inventory that's sold in the quarter. And pricing on scatter for the broadcast network was up low double digits in the fourth quarter. And the outlook for the first quarter, it's up over 20%. And then pricing on scatter for cable was up over 30% in the fourth quarter, and it's also up over 30% in the first quarter. So we're seeing benefits on the network and cable and the local stations, and the ad market's definitely getting better. You know, if you look at the business segments, cable had another great quarter. Revenue of $1.3 billion was up 8%. Op profit was up 8%. It was led by entertainment. USA delivered more total viewers in Prime than any other cable network in history. So they continue to have just a great performance. We've got a bunch of great new shows that are new series coming. Sci-Fi, Bravo, and Oxygen were all up over 20%. And on the news side, CNBC had a revenue and profit growth despite tough comparisons with last year's fourth quarter, so they're performing well in this economy. On the broadcast side, revenues of $1.6 billion were down 2%. Op profit was down in broadcast, driven by the NFL sports fees and by new programming investments that we've been making. Everyone's aware of our decision to move Leno back to The Tonight Show and to reset the 10 p.m. lineup after the Olympics. I'm not sure I could report more than has been written on this subject. News continued its leadership position, and the local stations also had good earnings growth in the fourth quarter. You know, the toughest part of NBC and the thing that's driven our earnings all year long has been film. Revenues of $1.2 billion were down over $400 million in the quarter. And, you know, we didn't have any big films in fourth quarter in terms of theatrical, but we had very tough DVD comparisons. In the fourth quarter of 2008, we sold over 33 million DVDs with hits like Mamma Mia, Hulk, and Wanted. And this year, we only had 12 million with Inglourious Basterds and Public Enemy, the two biggest. So that was really challenging. The film op profit was down over $200 million in the quarter, which really drove the NBC results, not only in the quarter, but for the whole year. So NBC ended 2009 with segment profit down 28%. For the first quarter, we're seeing pretty good demand for the Olympics. As I said, the advertising market's picking up. Revenue should exceed our December estimates for the Olympics by $25 to $50 million. But even with that demand, we expect a loss of somewhere around $250 million on the Olympics in the quarter. And obviously, the big news in the fourth quarter for us was the Comcast announcement. We're working jointly on preparing our regulatory filing and our other notices with the Department of Justice and the FTC to get that underway. Next is technology infrastructure. John Rice and the team delivered revenues of $11.3 billion. They were down 10%. And segment profit of $2.1 billion was down 16%. You can see the business results on the bottom left. Overall, this was a tougher quarter for aviation and transportation, but we saw some very positive signs in healthcare. And let me just take you through the three businesses here. Aviation, fourth quarter orders of $4.4 billion were down 16% year over year. Major equipment orders of $1.5 billion were down 48%. Basically, the airframer backlogs are still full. We had $900 million of commercial engine orders, $600 million of military orders. And the backlog on equipment ended the quarter at just under $20 billion, down about 5% versus last year, so still a very solid position. Service orders were up 19%, driven by one large order, a $350 million order with Aviol for parts deliveries that will occur in late 2010 and most of 2011. Without that, commercial spares of 19.5 million per day were down about 11%, and commercial overhauls was pretty good, up 8%. Revenue in the quarter was down 8%, driven by equipment revenue down 21%, partially offset by service revenue up 8%. The main driver on that was fewer military engines. We shipped 238 military engines, down 14%. We actually shipped 516 commercial engines, which was up 5% in units, but still a tough revenue comparison. Op profit in the quarter was down 18%. It's primarily driven by the absence of some prior fourth quarter 08 transactions that don't repeat, and also lower spare parts shipments in the quarter. Spare parts shipments were down 4%. Excluding those, op profit would have been about up a slight amount as positive pricing offset lower volume and higher R&D costs in the aviation business. If you go to healthcare, the fourth quarter was the most positive orders quarter we've seen since the third quarter of 2008. Orders of $5.1 billion were up 11%. Equipment orders of $3.4 billion were up 13%. We had about 4 to 5 points of benefit from FX, but the trend was very broad. If you look, I'm just going to give you a lot of numbers of the different modalities and regions of the world. They're all positive. Diagnostic imaging was up 24%. We haven't seen a quarter like that in a long time. Inside diagnostic imaging, if you look globally, China was up 32%. India was up 53%. The U.S. was up 34%. It's very broad. Clinical systems was up 8%. Life sciences was up 11%. Surgery was up 13%. In the U.S., equipment orders were up 9%. CT globally was up 20%, MR globally was up 36%, X-ray was up 16%. The lowest growth was MDX, and that was up 1%. So service orders were up 6%, healthcare IT was up 4%. It's just a much better quarter than we've seen in a long time. In terms of the actual results in the quarter, revenue of 4.7 was down 2%. That was driven by equipment being down 2% and services down 3%. And segment profit was down 3% as the lower volume and a little bit of price were mostly offset by deflation and cost productivity. If you go to transportation, that team continues to deal with just a really challenging environment. Orders of $900 million were positive, though. They were up 3%. Equipment orders of $500 million were up almost $300 million, driven by international orders for including 300 Evo kits for China, 50 units for Brazil. Service orders, though, were really tough. They were down 40%, and that's driven by the impact of the park locomotives. You know, we still have about 5,000 park locomotives, and that's impacting the service business and transportation. Revenue of $600 million was down 56%. We're delivering significantly fewer locomotives. We did 91 locomotives in the fourth quarter of 2009 versus 219 in the fourth quarter of 2008. And then finally, we had a service contract review in Erie as well. Over the last 2 years, we completed reviews of our service contract portfolios in aviation and energy. And in the fourth quarter, we finished a project to relook our total contract cost estimates in transportation. And we had a charge of about $300 million in the quarter. That took transportation's results from a positive 150 to a negative 160. And this does complete our service contract review for the three businesses. We've also had a lot of structural cost out in the business to counter the effect of the slowdown, taking out close to 30% of the employee base in the business, as we're just going to have lower locomotive shipments as we go into 2010. For the year, transportation earned $470 million of operating profit, and with the lower locomotive forecast for 2010, we currently expect the team to deliver about the same result, same total result next year. So overall, if you look, technology infrastructure for the year delivered $7.5 billion of operating profit, down 8%. And the final business is energy. John Krenicki and the energy team finished the year strong. Revenues at $10.4 billion were down 9%. It's a similar profile to Q3. We had positive operating leverage with segment profit at $2.2 billion, up 9%. You can see the business results on the bottom left, and let me start with energy. Energy orders of $8.8 billion were down 6% versus last year, so the trend continues to improve, and they were up 33% from the third quarter, which is a nice sequential improvement. Thermal orders of $1.7 billion were down 19%. We had orders for 40 gas turbines versus 70 last year. All 40 orders were for outside the U.S. And if you look at the orders price, it's still pretty good. The thermal order price index was up 1% for the quarter. Wind orders of $1.5 billion, they were down 25% from last year, but they were also up 20% from the third quarter. We're seeing more activity. We had also quite a few pushouts. We had about $400 million of European orders that pushed into Q1. And we haven't included in orders any of the $1.4 billion Caithness commitment that we announced in the fourth quarter. So pretty good activity in wind. And the wind orders price index was down 2% in the quarter. Aero orders were down 40% to $400 million. Jenbacher orders were up 3% to $270 million, seeing pretty good demand there. And service orders were up 15% to $4.5 billion, driven by just strong contractual service commitments. During 2009, we also built a $700 million backlog in smart grid orders that will deliver in 2010 and 2011. So revenue in the quarter at Energy was down 13% to $8.3 billion. That's really just driven by the lower volume. Wind unit revenue was the main driver. It was down about 30%. Thermal revenue was down 6%. We shipped 585 wind turbines versus 988 last year, and we shipped 34 gas turbines versus 58 last year, and service revenues were up too. On that revenue, segment profit was up 11%. And we got the benefit of the higher prices that we've had in the backlog. We got the benefit of deflation and pretty good service productivity, which more than offset that lower volume. Segment profit margins also grew 470 basis points to 21.9%. Overall, it's just a great performance in the energy business. For oil and gas, they also had another good quarter. We're seeing some positive orders growth globally, a lot of demand in the LNG segment. Orders of $2.5 billion were up 30% in the quarter. Equipment orders of $1.4 billion were up 30%, and that's driven by the strength in LNG and also drilling and production. In subsea, great demand. With $600 million of orders just from the Gorgon project in Australia, and there are several more projects coming in Australia around LNG. Service orders were up 30%, driven by incredibly strong repair and field service orders. They were up 20%. Plus, we had solutions orders for equipment upgrades to help people with their productivity. That more than doubled to over $230 million. Revenues of $2.3 billion in the quarter were up 10%, driven by the strong pipeline and services revenues. And segment profit of $422 million was up 4%, driven by positive deflation, partially offset by some higher project costs as they implement these projects globally. So overall for the year, the energy team just had a great year. They delivered $6.8 billion of segment profit. It was up 13%. Now, I want to walk through the next page, a few of the changes that we're making, some simplification that we're doing to help make things a little bit cleaner in GE as we do our reporting and also as we operate the company. These are going to be effective January 1st. First, we're going to put everything associated with industrial electricity equipment and components and smart grid into energy. So the industrial business out of C&I is going to go into energy. The businesses from enterprise solutions associated with sensing and inspection and digital energy are going to become part of energy. And it's going to align everything we have around smart grid. I think it's a good move. As a result of this change, we're going to transfer about $3.5 billion of revenue and about $300 million of segment profit into the energy business, and that'll start, again, as I said, as of 1-1. Second, if you take the industrial business out of C&I, we're going to leave appliances and lighting together, and they're going to be combined with the intelligent platforms business from FANUC, and it's renamed GE Home and Business Solutions. You know, it helps us to further focus appliance and lighting on the energy efficiency game. Compared to the current C&I segment, revenue in 2009 for the Home and Business Solutions will be about $1.3 billion less, and it'll have a minimal impact on segment profit. And the third thing we're going to do on simplification, I think, is a great benefit for simplifying reporting for investors. You know, we've had Capital Finance as the reporting segment for Mike Neal and his team, and then we have GECC, the registrant, GE Capital Corp, and then we have GE Capital Services. We're going to make Capital Finance equal GECC starting 1-1, and basically what that will do is it'll take the treasury operations and the corporate costs, and it'll put it into Capital Finance, and it'll streamline our reporting and simplify our reporting. On that basis, Capital Finance's net income will be $1.7 billion for 2009, so around $600 million of after-tax expenses that are in corporate and treasury will show up in the segment instead of capital corporate, and I think this is just going to be a nice simplification. To help with the changes, in the supplemental package that we put out today, we have a summary of all three of these changes on the reporting basis. We have the full year 2007, then we have by the quarters for 2008 and 2009, so it's not a big deal. But we tried to give you this to just simplify how we're going to change the reporting, and I look forward to this in 2010. I think it streamlines things for investors and for our management team. The final thing on the fourth point here on the shelf, one of the results of the SEC settlement we had last summer was that we lost what's known as a well-known seasoned issuer status for GE for a period of 3 years from the time that we file our 2009 10-K. Now, that does not affect GE Capital. But because of this, we're going to have to file an updated registration shelf statement prior to filing the 10-K, which we anticipate will be sometime in the end of February. This is not a substantive change, but procedurally we'll have to file a shelf as a result of that settlement. You know, next, just for 2010, I thought I'd revisit the framework that we covered with you in December. You know, we expect the industrial profit to be about flat. Basically, as you look at the businesses, we're going to have growth in energy, oil and gas, and healthcare. And that's going to offset any potential pressure that we have in aviation and transportation. Media will be down, driven by the Olympics, as I mentioned, otherwise about flat for the year. Capital Finance will be about flat. And now that Capital Finance will equal GE Capital Corp, you know, based on the early signs we see in delinquency, non-earnings, and margins, you know, GE Capital's positioned for upside. We've got to remain cautious on real estate, but the outlook has improved. Corporate will also be about flat. We're going to have higher pension costs in 2010 versus 2009, but that's going to be partially offset the fact that we have lower restructuring. And, again, the total amount of restructuring will depend on the projects that we develop during the year and what the paybacks look like. And then we expect another very solid year of cash flow, $13 to $15 billion from our industrial businesses in 2010. So, you know, we're not giving EPS guidance, but those drivers will describe our operational outlook as you look at 2010. And finally, I wanted to just cover one page about the outlook going forward for cash and the macro picture for GE. The fourth quarter of 2008, most of 2009 was just a really tough period for GE, and our team's executed very well. We've dramatically changed our future financial flexibility, and I think this page summarizes it. On the left side, you all know the capital story. You know, we closed 2009 with $64 billion in cash. We pre-funded our 2010 long-term debt needs in 2009. With our focused shrinkage and our alternative funding, you know, we're going to redeem $71 billion of long-term debt this year. We're going to keep our commercial paper below $50 billion, and we're going to be able to pre-fund $25 billion of 2011 long-term debt. We're managing our collections ahead of our originations. Our restructuring business is funding growth in other areas. Our quality of earnings are going to be better. We're going to deliver growth in pre-tax, pre-provision earnings in 2010, and losses are going to peak. And our capital ratios are going to stay above the regulatory requirements. So our estimate right now is that we're going to contribute about $2 billion of equity into GE Capital in 2011 based on our income maintenance agreement, and that's the extent of what we see as the potential capital needs that GE might have to put into GE Capital. On the right side is the parent story. We continue to grow our cash balance from free cash flow. We're very cash efficient as a company. We expect $10 billion of proceeds from the security and the NBCU transactions. And we should end the year with over $25 billion of cash at the parent level. So that's going to lead to a different framework for us in terms of capital allocation. We've pretty much reserved the $2 billion for GE Capital, but we're going to be able to invest in infrastructure. We're going to be able to look at buyback. We're going to be able to grow our dividend in line with earnings. And, you know, Jeff, when you think about this picture versus where we've been, I don't think it's an either or here on this menu. I think these are things we're going to be able to do when we get this flexibility.
No, I think, Keith, it's an immensely stronger story for the company. You know, I think we always look at bolt-on acquisitions and infrastructure, and we think they'll be available. We'll be very opportunistic on the buyback and look at where the share price is and look at the preferred and things like that. And then I think we really see the ability to grow the dividend in line with earnings by 2011. And so, you know, we're committed to safe and secure for the company, but we've got lots of flexibility to enhance shareholder value as we get through this picture during 2010.
I think it's just a tremendously positive outlook.
So I think
we've had
the team's done a great job.
Yep.
Great job here. Lastly, just, you know, I think to recap something that we talked about in December, you know, in terms of how you think about the company going forward, we end the year 2009 at $1.03 a share. We see, you know, solid earnings growth in 2011 and 2012, and it really doesn't require, you know, a dramatic change in the global economy. You know, we think things are getting better in GE Capital. We should get earnings rebound post this loss cycle. Fourth quarter is encouraging along those lines. And as losses probably level off or peak in 2010, this just portends, I think, good earnings capability for GE Capital in 2011 and beyond. 70% of our industrial earnings are in services. I really think that the service business model has been validated during this cycle. The earnings have continued, and the fourth quarter just confirms that. And so I think that's quite strong. Our equipment backlog is still strong. We see the markets, you know, generally better. Our margins are good in backlog. We've increased the R&D so we can increase the number of products. And what we just talked about, the cash optionality, you know, that we're going to deploy in an investor-friendly way, and the story just gets better. And when you look at the years 2010 through 2012, you know, the management team is going to be compensated to deliver these results for you in terms of EPS, cash, ROTC, and funding. And so the management team is incredibly aligned with investors to accomplish what we've laid out here. Lastly, just to summarize some thoughts that we left you with in December, you know, we positioned the company for solid earnings and cash flow growth in the future. 2010 solid, growth in 2011. Our strength in technology, services, global markets really position us, we think, well today. We kept investing in the downturn. Our pipeline is strong of new products. We've defined the business that fully utilized the GE competitive advantage. We've got a simple and strong portfolio where we can invest and grow. We think the worst is behind us in financial services, and the GE Capital will be smaller, but still a meaningful contributor in the future. We should get this profit snap back as losses go down. And we'll generate significant available cash to be thoughtful, and we'll be thoughtful about creating long-term shareholder value. You know, we want to be safe and secure, but we also are going to have lots of optionality as we look at the future. So that, Trevor, I'll turn it back over to you, and
great.
And let's take some questions.
Thanks, Jeff and Keith, for that. Noelle, I think we're ready to open up the phone lines for questions now.